yeah, we're looking forward to that and appreciate your consideration of how God might lead. So when our oldest son was about 3, we realized he was going to need to have a routine surgery, and it was not be a complicated surgery, but he would need to be put under for that to happen. And as a parent, that just freaked me out, wigged us out, just the thought of that. And I remember being nervous about them until I sat down. It was going to be a team of 2 doctors who did the surgery, and getting to know these men and having these men tell me and tell us, I promise you I'll treat your son like he's my own. Okay, I'm still nervous, but I trust you. I'm because I know you, I'm willing to let go a bit more. Well, in a similar way, God calls us to trust him, not with the surgery, but with our lives. And I would argue, as a parent getting to know that doctor, the more we know about God, his character, and his nature, the easier it is to trust him, to trust fully in him. With that in mind, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. And we're going to go through this passage and wrestle with this question, why trust Jesus? Why trust Jesus? If you haven't been with us, we've been going through the book of Gospel of Luke for a while. We have seen that Luke wrote an account of Jesus' life for a guy named Theophilus, but we also believe he wrote for us. The Holy Spirit has preserved this that we might get to know Jesus. And we understood that Jesus was born of a virgin, like nobody born of a woman. And that for 30 years, he worked as a carpenter. And then he stepped out into public ministry, and the crowds have gathered, and people have come to him, and it's made quite a commotion. People are excited. People are curious. Religious leaders are threatened. And we pick it up with Jesus and his disciples in Luke 8, verse 22. Here's what it says. Now, one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So this is, they're on the Sea of Galilee, so they launched out. Now, the Sea of Galilee was known because of where it sits. It was down in a basin. Wind came over the mountains and mixed with the air, and it was known for its storms. Waves could be up to 3 feet. And so what is supposed to be a routine boat trip turns quickly in verse 23. But as they were sailing along, he, Jesus, fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. Now, we need to see this passage, Luke 8, 22 to 25, is part of a bigger context, which starts in verse 22 and goes to the end of chapter 8, verse 56, in which Jesus shows power over nature by stilling a storm, verses 22 to 25. Verses 26 to 39, he shows power over demons as a man possessed by a legion of demons, and with the word he cast them out. And then in verses 8, 40 through 56, he shows power over both sickness and death. It's part of a flow of thought. Why did Luke and actually Mark and Matthew put these together? Well, they ministered in a polytheistic culture. Polytheistic means we got many gods, and you got a god of rain and a god of sun, a god of fertility, a god of this, a god of that. And the gospel writers are saying, you know, there's a one-stop God. You don't have to go to all these other gods. There's a God named Jesus who's over all this. He has power over everything. Nature, the demonic, sickness, and death. And what we're seeing here is Jesus' power over nature. Remember, several of these disciples were fishermen by trade, and they're wigged out by the storm. They think they're going to die. Jesus stands up, hush, be still. It's done. If Jesus can do that with a storm, what can he do with what's going on in your life? What kind of power does he have over that? See, we're wrestling with this question, why trust Jesus? Here's what I'd say. We can trust Jesus because he has control over nature. Because he has control over nature. So that means he has control over your work situation. And he has control over your child. He has control over your parents. He has control over your health. He has control over everything. He's all powerful. He is omnipotent. Power over everything. Sometimes that's a little hard to stomach, isn't it? When things aren't going well, we kind of wonder, if you're all powerful, Jesus, what's going on? Well, the disciples had that attitude, and I think it comes out more clearly in Mark's account of this story. Mark 4:38 says this. I mean, they're in the boat. They're going along, and Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And here comes the storm. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care? Do you not care that we are perishing?" The waters got rough, and they questioned, "Jesus, do you care?" Is that how you roll? Is that how I roll? The storm comes, and we question Jesus' care. I'd argue it's in the midst of the storm that we need Jesus, and if we're questioning him, we're not going to trust him. Are we making Jesus care, in our mind, conditional on certain outcomes? As long as life is smooth, I know you care. But things get hard, I'm going to bail on you. When you get in a storm, when I get in a storm, what kind of questions are we asking? One of them is, do you care? Another one might be, how long? How come? Why does my loved one get cancer, dementia, Parkinson's? Why? I want to see if we can get to a different question. But before that, Jesus has a question for the disciples. I think he has a question for us in our storms. Verse 25. So they wake him up. He rebukes the storm. And Jesus says, "Where's your faith? Where is your faith?" It got a little rough. And you wondered, do you care? Do you care? Years ago, I heard a speaker say, and this was kind of enlightening for me, storms don't build our faith. They reveal our faith. Storms, they don't build your faith. They reveal the quality of your faith. How strong, how solid is your faith? Well, a storm will reveal that. When your child rebels, when your parent smothers you, when your boss asks for more, when your loved one gets sick, what is true of your faith? So when we were in language school in Costa Rica, we were in trimesters. About the middle of the trimester, they'd have spiritual emphasis week, and they'd bring a speaker down and to try and minister to us who were in another culture trying to learn another language. And I heard a guy speak on this very passage from Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. It was Mark's account of it. And I was frustrated because I didn't think my Spanish was coming along fast enough. Now, hindsight would tell me a different story. It went pretty well for me, but that's not how I felt at the time. And I thought, God, I am working. I want to minister for you. How come it is taking so long? Why am I so slow to pick this? As I reflected on this, I thought, you know, God was faithful to raise the funds. He was faithful to get us through seminary without any debt. He has provided people. He's provided a wonderful Costa Rican home. Why do I think God would bail on me now? See, I had my own storm. Maybe it was more imagined than real, but to me at the time it seemed real. And I doubted God when he had showed himself faithful. How do you respond when the storms come? So beginning of verse 25, we saw Jesus has a question for the disciples. The disciples, after they see Jesus do what he does, have another question, and we see it at the end of verse 25. He said to them, this is Jesus, where is your faith? They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? They're asking the question, who is this guy? That he can just speak the word and the waves stop. And what's interesting about that is they've seen Jesus do miracles. They've seen Jesus heal a dead child. They've seen Jesus rebuke fever. They've seen Jesus release people from demon possession. They've seen Jesus turn water into wine. In fact, they have even been sent out by Jesus themselves and they've healed people from demon possession. And yet they're flummoxed that, can you believe it? Just a word, Jesus did that. Why is that so amazing to them when they've seen what they've seen? Here's why. When it's someone else's crisis, it's one thing. When it's someone else's storm, it's one thing. But when it's yours, it's mine, oh, that brings it home. So that storm you're in right now, whatever it looks like, sickness, job, singleness, kid, would you consider asking a different question or an additional question? After you get past why and how long and so on and so forth, would you ask this question? Who are you? See, the storms of life give us a unique opportunity to understand Jesus. You're going through the storm anyway. Don't miss the opportunity. After you get past why, and after you get past how long, and how come, and they, how come they, and how come I don't, and could you get to the question, who are you? Who are you, Lord? How do you want to use this in my life? What do you want to show me about you? Who are you? So I talked about my frustration at not picking up my Spanish as quickly as I wanted. What it caused me to do is stay focused on immersing myself with Costa Ricans and others who were native Spanish speakers. So we got up and went to the Institute for 2 hours a day to start. Turns out my teacher, second trimester, was from Nicaragua. She had been born in Nicaragua and came over in the 70s because there was a revolution. I read about that. She lived through it. And she talked about what it was to live under the reign of the Somoza family in Nicaragua and then what the revolution, the Sandinistas did. And maybe that doesn't, you don't know that, but I remember reading about that in a kid and it's like, oh, I'm getting a different perspective here. Those were the first 2 hours of the day. Then we come home and we had a route where we'd go out in 10 different shops and we'd have a little text and it had questions in it because I wanted to ask questions and they speak, and I hear Spanish. I did a lot of listening on that route. What's the biggest problem in Costa Rica? What's it like to raise children in Costa Rica? And these people would talk. Well, I got to see life through the eyes of Costa Rican. Then we go home and have lunch, and the lady who was the owner of our house, we'd talk with her. And then for me, about 1 o'clock, I'd go over to the guy right across the street. He had an in-home business. We'd talk for 4 hours. I got to see what it was like to run a business, what's different, what's the challenges, the pressures economically of life in Costa Rica. One night a week, I'd go to a men's Bible study, and we'd dive into the text, and they would look at the scriptures because of their culture and experience different. Who are you? What was that like for me? God was using that to allow me to see life from a different perspective. God was using that to allow me to see the gospel, the scriptures, through different eyes. That was my answer to the question, who are you? What's more important is, in your storm, what does God want to show you? So you don't have to answer me, but what's that storm right now? Is it a health issue? Is it a job? I mean, it could be a number of things. What kinds of questions are you asking? Would you add this question to your list of questions in the midst of your storm? Jesus, who are you? What can I grow and learn to understand about you that I can't get anyplace else? But this storm gives me a unique experience. Who are you? As I said, storms don't build our faith, they reveal the quality of our faith. What's this storm telling you about your faith? See, the disciples got in a storm, and the question they had is, do you care? That's not a strong faith. That tells they needed to grow in their understanding and knowledge of who Jesus is. What can you do if the storm has showed your faith to be lacking, to grow so that you can know and you can understand who Jesus is? As you ask different questions, would you see the storms of life as an opportunity to know Jesus? You can trust him because he showed his power over nature. When I was in elementary school, they rated us on a variety of subjects, English, math, PE, music. And I did pretty well, except for one subject. That was handwriting. We had a grade system that was E for excellent, S for satisfactory, U for unsatisfactory. In between those, we had an S plus and an S minus. 5 grades, 4 report cards meant a total of 20 report cards. 16 times, my grade in handwriting was a U. Not a strength here, people. Twice, got an S minus. And my 2 banner quarters, got an S. Did you ever get an S plus or E? No, didn't get that. Well, back in the day, in engineering, a class called Engineering Design Graphics, and this is before CAD, Computer Aided Design, so it's all by hand. And I remember registering with the guy to orientation, tell him about my woes. He said, oh, we'll get it out of you. We'll get it out of you. Well, sir, I'm not sure about that, but okay. Well, I find out that the chair of the whole Engineering Design Graphics is a guy named Dr. Jim Merle. He has written the textbook that we'll use. And it is used at every school in the Southwest Conference. There were about 9 schools, University of Texas and Texas Tech. They all used this book. So he was kind of a big name. To kind of stay in touch with students, he taught one section. I figured there were about 5,000 kids started in engineering, 50 a section. I figured there were about 100 sections. He taught one. You want to guess who I got first semester? Dr. Jim Merle. And he sits a seating chart, and he wants to learn names, so he sits us in alphabetical order. Guess where I end up? Friends, I'm in the front row, in the center. And he would walk around, and he would look, and he would make comments because I wasn't doing too well. This guy was intimidating to me. Remember, I'm working from a period of weakness, and you know, he is kind of rough, kind of sarcastic, gruff old guy, and I'm just trying to avoid eye contact, and I'll do stuff when he says to me, but you would do plays. And one time I get an assignment back, and here's what it says in red. No, no, no. Circled. If you don't understand, come see me. bummer. I'm intimidated. I got 16 U's, 2 S minuses, and 2 S in handwriting, and I got to go see this cat, and he's circling stuff at the bottom of the thing. You had to write your name. He's circling stuff there. I'm not doing well here. But when it says no, 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 if you don't understand, come see me. I think I don't have a choice here. Dr. Jim Earle was not the man I thought he'd be. He was kind. He was patient. He said, why don't you show me what you're doing? He goes, no. Here's what I want from you. What's my point? As intimidated as I was with Dr. Earle, maybe you're more intimidated by Jesus. And as badly as I was doing in penmanship and handwriting, maybe the way you've been handling stuff and you're, man, Andy, I ain't been asking those questions. I've been mad at God. I've been this and that. And you think, I want to keep my distance. If you'll draw near, I'm gonna think you're going to find out Jesus ain't who you thought he was. As much as Dr. Earle surprised me, Jesus will surprise you infinitely more. He beckons you to come. He's patient. He's long-suffering. And he says, man, I don't want you to walk through the storms of life alone. I want to be in the midst of that. I want to redeem that for you, and I want to show myself to you in a way I can't any other way. Would we draw near to this one who died for us? Okay, let me ask and answer a question. Why trust Jesus? We can trust Jesus because he has control over nature. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we're challenged by this account of the disciples, and they show themselves to be really human. It gets rough, the storms get rough, and man, they're asking, don't you care? Lord, that's me. And I suspect that's many of my friends. Jesus would ask, where's our faith? Where's our faith? Because it's in the storm that we need Jesus. Oh, Lord, that we'd understand that you're sovereign and you're good and you want to redeem these storms. Would we, Jesus, ask a different question? Who are you? Lord, that we could take hold of a God who wants to reveal himself to us. Lord, thanks for Jesus. Thanks for the example, the humanity of these disciples. We pray in your name. Amen.